Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got an email just about an hour before showtime from my kids' school district. And hey, congratulations, the county I live in, now one of the identified super spreader counties. Evidently, we've had a substantial spread of COVID-19 in this county, and they're worried about school's going to begin in just, well, what, 2.5 weeks? Something like that. And they're saying, hey, this is how we're going to try and keep your kids safe. Yes, we're going to mandate that kids wear their masks. And the part of the email that caught my attention the most, they said, yep, we're going to mandate the social distancing, the washing the hands, the masks, all of that. What the CDC says is things we should be doing. They write, we understand that this decision will not be the preference of all of our families. Regardless of personal beliefs on masks, it is our sincere desire to put reasonable mitigation strategies in place so that all students may attend in-person classes and experience engaging and interactive lessons. For those of you who don't want to wear a mask, who don't want to follow the rules, there's always the virtual academy that you can go to. You can go homeschool. Now, what's interesting is the people who are screaming the loudest about having to wear masks, they're the ones who want to get away from the virtual stuff. Going to be interesting to see how this school year kicks off. But here to share some thoughts on, you know, what do we do in this moment of COVID? What do we do as school begins to open up? That's why I've asked Arthur Steinberg to come talk with us. Arthur's the president of the AFT Pennsylvania, American Federation of Teachers. Arthur, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me, Rick. And before we start, I just want to let the audience know, and I'm sure everybody joins me in mourning the loss today of Rich Trumka, the president of the national president of the AFL-CIO, a true champion of working class people and the middle class, and was most proud of his Pennsylvania roots. He was the son of a Pennsylvania coal miner and never forgot where he came from and always advocated for working people on the middle class.
Yeah, again, this has been the topic of almost our entire show so far, because while I wanted to talk about the 40th year since the firing of the Patco workers, the unfortunate passing of Rich Trumka has pretty much dominated the entire show thus far. So I guess I got to ask you, because we talked with presidents of the AFL across the country and their memories. Do you have a particular memory of Rich?
Just him interceding on the behalf of local candidates that had working class values when local CELCs and labor councils, when there was some difficulties being back and forth, but not a specific instance of dealing with him. Fortunately, we have not had to call on him to intervene on our behalf, but just being in his presence a few times and hearing him speak so passionately about what the needs of working folks and the middle class, and how he firmly believed that the strength of the country would be having a strong middle class.
No, he's going to be missed, and the hope is that, and my faith and my hope is with Liz Shuler that she'll pick up and move forward as we fight to get the PRO Act passed and move the labor movement forward to help working families get better wages, hours, conditions, and better opportunities. And for me, a lot of that starts in the classroom. And, I go back to where...
Listen, before you get it, I think, as we all know, he is leaving large shoes to fill. And what a tremendous legacy that would be for us to get together and pass the PRO Act.
No, it's something we desperately need, but especially in this moment, and I'm with you. And as Rick Bloomingdale a moment ago said, Liz Shuler called on Chuck Schumer to change the name of the act to the Richard Trumka Act, protecting rights to organize act, which I think would be a class move. To education, because a lot of folks are concerned about, we're opening schools in the next couple of weeks. I'm sure you know this as well as anyone. And there's so many questions, especially as we're now appearing to be in another spike era. I'm curious what you guys are advocating for, what you guys are working on.
Okay. Well, first of all, Rick, I'd like to be very clear that we have advocated since last spring for every child to be able to return to full-time learning 5 days a week in person. And we've been steadfast in that belief, and everything that we have done is pointed towards making that happen now so that the children and staff members can be safe in schools.
Okay, so just so I get this right, because I got a ton of right-wing crazy people sending me Facebook messages that you guys are the evil ones who never want to return, who always want to do this, who are ruining our children's education because you're afraid of the virus.
It's a false narrative. We have said since last April and March, the AFT, which we are, a member of, came out and said, what we need to do is make it safe for kids to return to school, because nothing replaces the face-to-face interaction between educators and their students. And that's what they desperately want to do. They did not enjoy working at home. It was very, very difficult to teach kids remotely and in class at the same time when you had hybrid learning. And they suffered. And make no mistake about it, school buildings were closed, but schools were not. And they suffered an incredible amount of stress and burnout at the end of the year. So for all those folks spreading those lies, rest well assured, we have said time and time again that we want everybody to be able to return to in-person learning full-time and do it safely. And we're working towards that goal this summer.
Yeah. No, and every teacher I've talked to has said the exact same thing. We want to get back into the classroom. We want to do what we were trained to do. We want to do what is our passion. But we want to do it in a way that not going to kill our students. And if you see some of the videos coming out that parents are posting, in places like Florida, of 9-year-olds hooked up to ventilators, no sane, rational person wants a child to be exposed to that kind of illness.
Oh, that's right. That makes no sense. All I can say is that I'm glad I don't live in Florida or Arkansas. I mean, it's tragic what the political leadership down there is doing, really sacrificing kids and educators for a political agenda.
Now, it's your view that going back to school, as long as they're doing the masks, the social distancing, that's gonna happen this fall?
Yes, it is. And let me say one thing that I think is critically important, and our union has been at the front of advocating for this, is the vaccine. The vaccine just protects everyone. There's a small number of breakthrough cases, right? Again, the right wing is exaggerating the number of that. However, even in a small number, when it's breakthrough, they don't get sick. They don't end up in the hospital. And more importantly, they do not die. And 90% of our members are vaccinated. And I think the key is to educate and get the rest of them to have that vaccine so that they can go to school safely. And then do the masking. Make sure that the ventilation systems are still enhanced. Do the hand washing and hand sanitizing, because as we know, the kids under 12 can't get vaccinated yet. And one of the frightening things about this Delta variant is that it now infects kids, and kids are getting sick with it. You just mentioned the 9-year-old and the ventilator in Florida. If that doesn't break someone's heart, then they don't have a heart.
There is that. Now, you brought up the vaccines. Is this a situation where the union would be all right with mandating that teachers have to get the vaccine?
Listen, I think we may get there at some point because of people's resistance. And again, your friends on the right wing, the disinformation they have put out there has really made it very, very difficult to convince some of the people that are reluctant. But I firmly believe, as does the AFT, and AFT Pennsylvania, that education is the key, and getting people to buy in will be much more beneficial than coercion in getting them to do it.
Now,
we've been sponsoring vaccine fairs, awareness situations, and encouraging people to get up, and get the shot in the arm.
No, because I'll tell you, and I know my soul is going to take a hit for this. Karma may come back and bite me in the behind, but I'm in this place where, if you didn't get the vaccine, you had the opportunity to do it, you get sick and you die, I have no sympathy.
I've heard a lot of people express that a very similar sentiment to you.
And, you know, at this moment, I don't want those people around my children. You know, at some point.
I think, yeah. Yeah, I think one of the misnomers they put out there is, you know, I have the personal freedom to not take a vaccine. Well, however, you don't have the personal freedom to create a public health crisis and make me or my family sick. So, you know, again, I think that's a false assertion. And then one again that we really have to fight and combat so that people will realize the significance and safety of getting the vaccine. And the sad thing about it is we have a surplus of it here and the rest of the world is struggling for it.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
We have it on every corner.
Isn't that amazing that we've got an abundance of what people in other countries are literally dying for, and we're not going to take advantage of it because somebody wrote something on Facebook or you saw something, you know, in some meme that someone tweeted to you. It's insane to me.
Listen, Lindsey Graham himself put it the best. I never thought I'd hear myself agreeing with Lindsey, right? He got it, and he got COVID, and he got right up on the podium and said, I'm so glad I got vaccinated because I'm sure I would have been much, much sicker if I didn't. If that doesn't convince these people, I don't know what will.
Yeah, you know, I look at the talking heads over on some of these right-wing platforms who are, you know, talking about don't get vaccinated and it's all a hoax. I'll bet you every one of them are vaccinated. And like you, I recently agreed with Alan Dershowitz when he was on the Laura Ingraham show, and he said, look, just what you said, you have the right to do what you want, but you don't have the right to get me sick. And this goes back to, you know, something I've always said about, you know, Justice Hugo Black said, you have the right to flail your fists around until they touch the tip of my nose. So in the same vein, you have the right to not vaccinate yourself until it makes me sick. And that's where we have a problem. And this is where, again, okay, I don't want people who are unvaccinated around my kids.
No, you know, you don't want to get vaccinated. Stay in your house and leave me alone.
I'm right there with you. Now, let's move back to the classroom, because this is going to be a major adjustment going back to school. I know for my kids, you know, I've got a kid going in the 7th grade, one going in the 10th grade. It's going to be an adjustment from, you know, what was the last year and a quarter or so of education. Do you expect any spasms? What kind of a situation do you expect to return to?
Spasms, I'm not sure exactly what you mean. I think it's critically important that there be enforcement of the masking policies. The research has shown that they are very, very effective when you combine that with having adequate ventilation in classrooms, that really, really does reduce the spread. And we have found in a lot of districts that the problem is the administration is not enforcing the masking requirements, whether it's because of community pressure or they just don't want to do it and put up with the aggravation from it.
Right.
That is then where these outbreaks occur. By wearing the masks and complying with everything else, then we will really, really minimize the amount of schools that have to be shut down. The worst thing that will happen is for school to start and then classrooms starting, you know, to have to be quarantined. And I will tell you that my experience at the end of the year last year was kids, contrary to what everybody said at the beginning, as long as they know it's expected of them, the kids were very, very compliant with wearing the mask, even the young ones.
Yeah, I according to my kids, the same thing. But by the word spasm, I meant, you know, people returning back to each other, returning to classrooms, you know, what kind of, you know, kids have almost forgotten. I know adults have forgotten how to interact with each other. If you've seen some of the videos in restaurants and on airplanes, you know, I'm wondering how you expect, you know, us coming back to schools and that becoming again part of the center of the community. What are you expecting and preparing for in that vein?
I am fully confident that with the professionalism and dedication that our members and our educators have shown over the years, that they will adapt and make sure the transition is as smooth as they can. And that will then in turn pass a sense of comfort and relaxation onto their students, and that they'll do what they do best, which is teach children.
My hope for this year is that things go smoothly. Kids get back to class. They get caught up. And on that vein, because this is the last line of questioning I want to get to, I've got a lot of friends who are concerned that, you know, kids have lost they've lost something over the last year plus. Do you have confidence that they catch up? Do you have confidence that, you know, at the end of the road they're going to be okay?
Yes, I do. And one of the things that gives me great hope is President Biden's stimulus package for schools. They gave a tremendous amount of resources to school districts. It's now up to them to allocate them properly, take care of kids and staff's mental health, which will then put them in a position to start learning again. And contrary to what you've heard, a lot of kids made remarkable progress last year. It's surprising, again, a lot of the right-wing and anti-public education folks. So I'm fully confident we have a stable, smooth beginning of the school year, provide these services and extra help for kids, that they will really be well on the road to being where they belong, and this may actually accelerate their learning.
I hope you're right. I hope things get back to some bit of normal and maybe even a little better as we appreciate being in the classroom more, as we appreciate the environment, the learning environment, and we move forward and eventually get to put this whole pandemic behind us.
Listen, Rick, you know, before I go, I think you just said something very pertinent there. We have a chance and an opportunity now to build it back better and to give kids, no matter where they live, no matter their zip code, an opportunity to thrive.
Let's hope that. And I know your members will do their best, professional, wonderful people. I wish them the best, and I hope you'll come back and share some tales of success as we move into this, and hopefully things go smoothly. I appreciate the time, Arthur.
I look forward to that, and thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Arthur Steinberg, he's the president of the American Federation of Teachers, Pennsylvania. If you got thoughts, questions, comments, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.